Good morning. Welcome to the Community Connection. I'm Tom Levine, and I am joined on the phone today by Jessica Terhar. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
And you are a PhD and scientific director of the International Probiotics Association, right?
Yes.
So tell me your PhD in what?
It's in microbiology, so I get to look at really, really tiny things.
Okay, so you're a doctor in microbiology.
Yes, sir.
And now you are director of the International Probiotics Association. What does the association do?
So we represent most of the very good probiotic companies around the world, and we are the global voice of probiotics. And what I do at the association actually has helped to vet a lot of science, and I'm really excited, Tom, to talk to you today because I think we are forgetting our good microbes.
Oh, okay.
I'm hoping that we can have a quick chat about that.
All right. So why did you decide to specialize in microbes?
Well, like I said, they're really tiny things, and being able to look under a microscope into a bit of a hidden world was fascinating for me, coupled with the fact that microbes are really important for health. It just sort of made sense.
Oh, okay. All right. So is there a difference between microbes and viruses and bacteria and all things small?
Yes, absolutely. That's a really great question, a good place to start, because these are a lot of scientific terms and they can be pretty daunting and confusing, but let's see if I can help clarify them. So microbes are a category of organisms, and the three most popular ones would probably be bacteria, fungi, and viruses. The thing is with microbes, though, you have good ones and you have bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
They exist everywhere. They're on plants, in our food, in the air, on us, in us, and they're supposed to be there because they do a lot of really important things. And the difference between, say, bacteria, fungi, and viruses, bacteria are sort of like a one-celled little creature, and they get kind of lonely, so they like to reproduce a lot. We wouldn't have things like wine or cheese without bacteria. And then fungi, they're a little bit more flexible. I sort of call them the recyclers of the microbial world, because if there's any food or compounds in excess, they sort of take them and they repurpose them. And we wouldn't, I mean, think beyond sort of bathroom mold and mushrooms, you know, we wouldn't have things like bread without, mm-hmm. Or beer even without fungi. And then lastly, the viruses. We're hearing a lot about viruses nowadays. I kind of call them the zombies of the microbial world because they're not really dead, they're not really alive,
okay.
But they do need another cell to do their thing. But again, there's good ones and there's bad ones because with that viruses, you have obviously a deadly virus like the coronavirus that's out there right now, but you also have viruses that can even kill antibiotic-resistant bacteria. So again, good guys and bad guys.
Okay, so there's good and bad in both. Or in all categories. So let's talk about the way we're living now. It seems sort of like we are living in that old John Travolta movie, Bubble Boy. We're trying to isolate ourselves, and is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
Well, it's a different world we live in right now. You're absolutely right. There's a lot of adjusting going on, and it's hard to say whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, but, you know, grandma's birthday party's online now. We don't go to her house anymore. We talk to the doctor on Zoom. Kids, if they're not in online school, they're trading masks in the playground, right? So it's a different world. Just like when an astronaut goes up to space, he or she has to adapt to the changing environment, and we are too. So in order to protect ourselves from the virus and keep ourselves and others safe, you know, we have to obviously abide by what the CDC is saying and the very smart people up in government. But at the same time, because microbes are everywhere and they're supposed to be in many of those places, we're not exposing ourselves to the good ones, and that can be a really big problem because microbes are very important for our health. They do a lot of wonderful things for us, even as humans. They help us digest our food well. They keep our bowel regular. They support our immune system. You know, they some of them keep our skin nice and soft. They help when baby is developing inside mom. You know, there's so many things that they do, and it's really important that our bodies are continually exposed on a regular basis to good microbes. Obviously, like you said, we want to avoid this deadly virus, but at the same time, there are ways that we can enhance our exposure to good microbes without endangering ourselves.
So is the problem that you're seeing that we are isolating ourselves too much from everyday bacteria that could help us?
Yes, it's exactly like the Bubble Boy movie, right?
Right.
You want to find the balance, staying safe while still exposing yourself to microbes. And like I said, the exposure to microbes, even when we're little babies, we know that if babies and children, for example, live with pets or live on a farm compared to those who don't, they tend to be a bit more healthy. So those that don't have that exposure to the pets, the dogs, the cats, the outdoors as much, they tend to have more allergies, more inflammation, autoimmune diseases, ear infections, flus and cold, all of that stuff. And we see the same trends in adults. And these are things, public health trends that are already far too high. So we have to find a way to put the good microbes back in the equation and still obviously stay safe from the coronavirus. But we have to make sure that our body is prepared for these sort of this new environment that we're in, where we're not shaking our neighbor's hand. We're not giving people hugs. We don't as much go out to the park or to the supermarket to handle different foods. So it's a new world. It's really a new world.
Okay. In your opinion, we're living too clean.
Yes.
Okay. So do you think, and this may be beyond your expertise, do you think we could see in the next few years more people who are absolutely afraid of germs and microbes and tend to stay at home instead of going out and then become sicker because of that?
I think we're already seeing that, Tom, unfortunately. I'm up in Toronto, Canada, and I know people that have not left their apartment in 9 months. Since the beginning of the pandemic, they haven't left.
Wow.
And this is, of course, people have a different level of risk tolerance, but being in the same four walls, it does a number on your health, on your psychological state, and all of those things, but they're just too afraid. So I would imagine that that's not uncommon in nowadays.
Okay.
And again, going back to the microbes, I think that we really need to obviously stay safe, but still try to find ways that we can reintroduce those good microbes if we're not able to do those things, right?
Okay. All right. So how do we walk that line where we expose ourselves to good microbes and stay away from bad viruses?
Well, I'll give you three simple ways. So the first one is literally open your windows. Open your windows, let some fresh air in, let some new microbes in. It'll rejuvenate the environment around you. It'll also like stimulate your mood a little bit more. And that's a good way to start. The second way, you're probably already doing this too, at least I hope you are, eating food, right?
Right.
Everybody eats every day, but eat a variety of food. As much fermented and fresh foods as you can, because those foods have microbes in them. Did you know there's over 1 million bacteria in an apple? Just the apple, on the skin, inside the flesh and the pulp, the seeds, all of that. And they're supposed to be there. And we normally eat them and they're good for us.
Hmm.
But if you eat a more variety of foods, you know, and there's more good bacteria in fermented foods like your pickles, your sauerkraut, yogurt, things like that, bread, wine, cheese, then you will get some more from the fermented foods and the fresh foods, but there's still good ones in the fresh ones too. So try to eat a variety of foods.
Mm-hmm.
That'll help you because that's a normal way that we ingest microbes and they interact with our body, right?
Right.
And then the last way, possibly the most simple, likely the most simple, is actually to consider taking a daily probiotic. And the reason for that is because they're safe, they're FDA regulated, and there's a lot of science behind them. And because of that, you know exactly what's in it. It's not sort of a wild card of, oh, surprise bag, what's in here? we know exactly what's in each probiotic product, and the FDA has regulated them very well under the DSHEA Act, and probiotics are extremely safe. So that's probably the simplest way to make sure that we get some daily exposure to some more good microbes.
Okay, so open our windows, eat a variety mm-hmm. of foods, and mm-hmm. take a probiotic. So how does the probiotic help? And does it matter which probiotic you take?
I get that question a lot. Classically, probiotics help with gut health, and they help with the immune system. And they do that in a number of different ways. Think of probiotics sort of like chemical factories. They produce all sorts of different molecules that interact and support our immune system, support our brains, actually. They can influence our mood in a positive way. They help to support the skin, us to digest nutrients and things like that. So there are a lot of different ways that they can help. Even when people are taking antibiotics, often doctors will suggest to take a probiotic afterwards, because an antibiotic will completely eradicate some of the bacteria that are normally living in our guts, and they never return, which is really not a good thing. So probiotics can help sort of stimulate the other bacteria that are living in the gut to sort of restore that diversity, at least the functional aspects.
Okay.
So they're very important. And I mean, if we talk about the science behind them, there's over 1,600 clinical trials on probiotics and quite a number of different health outcomes. These are not magic pills. There's an enormous amount of science behind them. And I hope people can start to recognize that, because it can be very beneficial.
All right. So is a probiotic safe to take every day?
Yes, sir. I personally take one every day. Of course, when you consider taking a probiotic, always just check with your doctor to make sure that, you know, there won't be any problems or interactions with medications. Not that we know of any, but still, you never know. And it's always a good idea to check with your doctor before you start to take something.
Okay. So when I go to the pharmacy or and I see the probiotics, I see all different kinds. How do I choose the best one for me?
That's a great question. We get that question a lot as well.
Oh, okay.
So I would suggest to look for a product that has a complete label. And what that means is you want to know exactly what's inside it. Some companies don't put all the name of the bacteria that are in there on the label. So let me give you an example. I am looking for a Tom Levine, and I want to know that it's the Tom Levine on the radio. Okay, but which radio? So, you know, I'm looking for more information. Otherwise, I might get 10, 15, 20, 200 Tom Levines. So if I'm looking for a specific strain of bacteria, a Lactobacillus acidophilus, for example, 1, 2, 3, and that's the strain designation, you want to make sure you have as much information to know that you can back the strains to the science. So look for products that have the strain names behind the bacteria. You want to look for products that have science on them, and you want to look for products that aren't sort of overselling what they're talking about. One actually way to kickstart that process is you can actually check our website out. We have a lot of different companies. I think we're over 110 companies around the world who make good quality probiotics that are vetted by science, that are regulated well, and that are responsible probiotic producers or brands. So you can check out our website and just have a start from there if you want. That's what I tell people a lot to consider.
Okay, what's your website then?
Internationalprobiotics.org.
Okay. All right. So do you look for, do you also look for a number of different probiotics within the same pill, or because I know I see two different kinds of probiotics, three different kinds, 24 different kinds of probiotics, 32 different kinds of probiotics. Is the number important, or is it more looking
you're,
for
you're
specific?
Asking the bigger is better type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of the number of, or the amount of strains, it really matters to the functionality. So often one strain could be potentially as effective as more. So I would say for now it's a bit of a wash, but really look to the science if you can. And then in terms of the amount of bacteria total, so 50 billion CFUs versus 10 billion CFUs, it matters that the strains are potent, so alive and doing what they need to do. And it matters that the strains are backed by science. So you could have one sort of superstar quarterback that can do a lot of stuff and handle as much as, you know, 3-4 strains. But maybe those 3-4 strains are in more amounts than the quarterback. So what I'm trying to say is it's really strain specific. And if you find a probiotic that's working for you, you know, over the first few days or week, you know, you can stick with that. It's not about bigger is better. It's about what's backed by science.
Okay. All right. So you're looking at the science of probiotics and you're reading the studies. What's the most fascinating study for you right now?
That's a really good question. Let me give you a peek into a big debate that's happening in science right now. So scientists aren't, they don't agree yet whether the womb is sterile or not. So what they've been finding is live bacteria in the placenta, in breast milk, and on the baby in the birth canal, of course, but also in the baby's first poop. And that suggests, whether or not it says there are live microbes in the womb developing with the baby, that suggests that microbes are critical for proper development. And obviously during this pandemic, I would strongly suggest, if the doctor's okay with it, the pregnant woman take a probiotic every day, because that really helps to train the baby's immune system. But this idea that microbes are developing as we develop in mom is so cool. And of course, like I said, we don't know if they are live or not, but that's one big study that excites me. And the other one, I'm a very much an advocate for women's health and the role of microbes in women's health. But one of the other studies is that if a mother who's breastfeeding takes a probiotic orally, so she takes swallows a capsule, and it passes through her system and all that, we can find those strains in her breast milk, and they're given to baby. If that's not cool, I don't know what is.
are physicians coming around to the fact that people should supplement their diet with probiotics and also vitamins?
Yeah, I talk with quite a few doctors, and they are all asking for more information about probiotics, which is great. And I know they're also reaching out to our association for more information as healthcare practitioners, because probiotics can be complex. You know, these are living organisms, just like people. They're not like people, but they're alive, and they sort of have their own programming and their own DNA. And so as we understand them more, we can utilize them in good ways and make sure we can include them to help optimize our health. And that's important. So doctors are very interested. And like I said, they're often now suggesting and recommending after a course of antibiotics to take a probiotic, because you reduce the diarrhea often that's associated with certain antibiotics or other symptoms. And it's overall a very good idea based on the science. So there's definitely more interest from doctors.
You know, when you were just saying that, it reminded me of being in high school, and my science teacher said that he had just come off a round of antibiotics and he had drank a cup of yeast. He had taken some active dry yeast, mixed it in water, and then drank it and he said it was going to make his system, even out his system. And I was like, well, it sounds like a probiotic. Do you think that would work? I don't know if he was, you know, off in left field or that's just something that worked for him.
Well, I think the concept is good, to take what are known beneficial microbes. And from your story, the way you're describing it, it was probably a bread starter yeast.
Yes.
But that's not a probiotic. So the difference between what your science high school teacher took would be sort of a preparation of a yeast drink compared to a probiotic. The science is not backing benefits for the yeast. Even though we know it's good, it makes bread, it can cause different materials to rise and things like that. It's not a probiotic. So it could be beneficial, and we know it's beneficial because we do eat bread that has been made with yeast. But a probiotic is something that's usually backed by a clinical study and has known and targeted and precise health benefits, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of products out there that can, in the case of antibiotic use, They can promote more diversity in the gut. So you want as many little microbes in your gut working away at their little projects as you can. And a probiotic can help to do that. It can help to reduce the severity and incidence of diarrhea and things like that, as well as some other symptoms that are associated with antibiotic use. Mm-hmm. But the difference is his yeast would not be a probiotic, though it is good microbes. So that's one thing to keep in mind. But the concept is very good.
Oh,
the
okay.
concept is backed by science.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, the smart teacher.
We always thought he was nuts, but apparently on the right track. So where can we learn more about probiotics and what we should be taking?
Well, if you liked anything I said or interested to learn more, you can, as I said before, check out our website, internationalprobiotics.org. One of the things I do as the scientific director is I check the science every day. I'm constantly vetting it and talking to people about it. So you can sign up for our newsletter, follow us on social media. And if you want, reach out to me personally via our contact page. I'd be happy to answer any questions. And I know that probiotics seem to be complicated and it's very confusing to understand what's out there. But we're really always trying to throw out tidbits like this because we want people to help themselves and to understand more about how probiotics can help them. So feel free to reach out, and I'd be happy to stay in touch with anybody who has questions.
And the benefits, again, are improved digestion, improved immune response, and improved
yes.
brain function, right?
Yes, those are three among many.
Among many, yeah. Those are the ones that you would think most people would want.
Absolutely. I mean, what's not to want about those, right?
Right. All right. We have been talking to Jessica Terhar. She's a PhD and scientific director of the International Probiotics Association. Again, her website is internationalprobiotics.org website she's associated with, and you can find out more information there. Jessica, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Tom. It was a pleasure.
All right. That's going to do it for today.